You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
As we jump into the book of Acts, it's super fun for me to revisit this. For some of you guys, you've been part of the church and you were with me in January of 2016 when we taught through Acts. We taught through the Acts series and we titled it Dynamis, Power, Explosive, Strength. We had Pastor Rocky, we had Pastor Mike, we had many guest teachers come in. We had Pastor Mark Bergen come in. We had a couple of my other friends come in. My dad came in and taught when we were going through that series. And I was going through and I was like, you know what? I'm going to intro Acts again. I probably should listen to the old sermon. And I had everything prepped and ready and I was listening to the old sermon and I was like, oh my goodness, that's the same intro. It's like I'm not creative. It's like I didn't come up with anything new. And my wife was asking me some questions this week, and she's like, well, how's preparation for Acts going? And I said, well, the good news is nothing has been added to it in 2,000 years, so it's still completely the same, and there's no new revelation that we got in 2020 about what Acts was, and so it's pretty much Acts is what it is. But let me still give a little bit of an intro of what the book of Acts is. Now, what's really cool about this time as we teach through Acts is we just got done teaching through the book of Luke. And Luke and Acts go together. They are part of just a tandem, beautiful bookends. What was written by Dr. Luke to explain to Theophilus what was going on, that this person had put their faith in Christ and basically, and just an easiest way to put it, paid for Luke to go make sure that what I'm believing is true. That this person not only said, man, is this really the truth? Is this really the Christ? But this man put his money and his wealth behind it to make sure that this was the right thing to believe. And so we have Luke being written as a gospel, as a research, and then we have Acts, which is also research. But there's something interesting that happens around chapter 16. It switches from research to eyewitness. That when we work through chapters 1 through 16, Luke is interviewing people. He's asking them questions. He's going on different journeys. He's talking to Paul. He's talking to Barnabas. He's talking to Peter. And he's getting this interview questions, and he's writing down the stories that they're telling him. But what's interesting is about halfway through the book of Acts, it transitions from they to we. From they saw to I saw. And I think something that's beautiful about the book of Acts for many Christians is you hear the stories of Christians telling about who God is, talking about God's power, talking about hearing God's voice, talking about hearing God pointing them in the direction. How do you make decisions? And sometimes that's frustrating because you're not hearing God. And you have to rely on eyewitness testimony. My prayer for you is as we go through the book of Acts, it transitions from they to I and we. That through the power of God's Spirit, He would bless you with His voice. Through the power of God's Spirit, He would bless you with seeing and knowing and listening. And He would bless you with a deeper relationship with Him. Now, warning, a deeper relationship with Him takes more work. A deeper relationship with Him takes more effort. I think about this. What happened with my wife and I years and years ago, I'm not going to say how many years, she'll probably blurt it out and you can hear it, but on Christmas, I asked her to marry me. And when I asked her to marry me, I was done. I didn't have to get to know her anymore. I didn't have to spend any more time hearing about her heart or her family. I didn't need to do any more research. Her body wasn't going to change. I knew all of her sizes. It was all written down. Everything was good. There was nothing else that I needed to do to improve our relationship. We were engaged and we were good. Well, that's how a lot of Christians are with God. Well, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I'm good. Well, you know what? I put a good 3 years into it, and I listened to scripture, and I went to some Bible studies. I did the church thing. I raised my hands during worship like twice. I mean, like a hand raiser. I mean, that's got to be good. I even made notes in my Bible once. Like I actually had a physical paper Bible that I used a pen set, and I actually wrote a note inside of it. Well, actually, it was my pen hit it, and it was kind of a line, but it still counts. I wrote in my Bible. And what I want you guys to hear is that what we're learning about in Acts is its effort, its relationship. It's constantly going deeper and learning. And let me help you out. I've been a Christian for a very long time, and I've been in churches for a very long time, and I've watched people decide that they've put enough effort into God and quit. I've watched people sit down and stop going on the journey because it got difficult or it got boring. And what I want to encourage you is that that's not you. That's not me. We continue the journey to the end. We complete the task in the race set before us by our King. And we complete it not because of our strength, but because of His strength. And that's the other part that I want you to understand about Acts is that the book of Acts is for many people, if you go to the front of your Bible, even a digital Bible, and you go to chapter one and then you kind of swipe left and you go to the introduction, they'll say the Acts of the Apostles. And the problem with the title, the Acts of the Apostles, is you and I aren't the apostles anymore. So Acts becomes a history book rather than, quite honestly, an instruction manual. Acts becomes something that they did, but when all the apostles died around AD 90, with John being one of the last ones, when there's no more Acts of the Apostles, God's not doing any more work. The problem is there's 2,000 years of church history that says that God's still alive. When I was a young man, I was taught, not like people really wanted to teach it, but I was taught that miracles had stopped. The miracles didn't happen in the church anymore. That God wasn't moving, that those things happened during Scripture so that we could know about God, but those things had stopped. And what I want you to understand is when you have a mindset that blocks you, when you have a belief system that sets up as a massive, massive stumbling block that you can't get over, you can't get past, it's a wall, you set up for yourself a belief system based on lies. The book of Acts has also been called the Acts of Jesus. But there's another problem. The book of Acts isn't about Jesus. Those are the Gospels. We've studied them. We've gone through them. The book of Acts is about what Jesus said at the end of Luke. I'm going to send a paraclete. I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send dynamis. I'm going to send the power of God. And the power of God is going to be in you and work through you for the kingdom of God. The problem is a lot of Christians try to manipulate God. We want God's power for our kingdom. When you think about it, we're very much like that. Why do you like your boss? Because your boss pays your check. Why do you like your boss? Because your boss can give you a promotion. Why do you like your spouse? Because they bring you pleasure and they make you feel good. Why do you like your parents? Well, I'll think of one. Why do you interact with people? Because you benefit from it. Because you're selfish. Because you're entitled and you want something. And we bring that to God. We come to God because we want something. We want Him to change our spouse. We want Him to change our job. We want Him to change our house. We want Him to change our neighbor. We want Him to change every... But we don't want to just be with Him. And what we notice is a massive transition between the Gospels and into Acts with the disciples. I hope you watch carefully over the 28 chapters in Acts. And we go back to the Gospels, the disciples are trying to prove themselves. They're trying to do, they're trying to be. They're fighting for who's going to be the best, who's going to be in charge, who's got the ministry leader, who's the person in charge of coffee cart, who's the small group leader, who's the main worship leader, who's the most important. That's what they're fighting for. And Jesus is literally face-palming all the way through the Gospels. But then something clicks in Acts. They've realized they've tried to do it in their own effort. They've realized all the mistakes that they've made. They actually mature spiritually. And then they watch God do what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it, why He wants to do it. And they don't get in the way very much. But there's some other chapters for us to jump into. The other thing that's very important when we look at the book of Acts is super important on Christians is we have to remember the book of Acts is written over a 30-year period. In other words, it's talking about 30 years of information. If you just sit down and you read the book of Acts in one day and you read 30 years of history, you're going to be really frustrated that God hasn't done a miracle in the last 10 minutes. But when you stop for a second and just think about it, that God does something really miraculous once a year for 30 years, it's actually pretty consistent. If you think about your life and you think about last year and you reflect on what God did last year, there's going to be a part of you that remembers, huh, there was that one moment that God totally blessed us and there was an absolute miracle. That was amazing. But then your selfish, consumeristic, entitled American Western mindset jumps out and goes, what about the other 364 days? What was he doing then? We have to relax and chill. That's the best thing I can communicate to Christians. We've got to relax and chill. And I know if you're a person who's grown up in the church in the 80s and the 90s and in the 2000s, you've been ramped up. You have gotten people to cheer. They've tried to motivate you to put your face into the ground and sacrifice everything that you have for the kingdom. And you're tired. You're burnt out. That didn't help your family. That didn't help the kingdom of God. It helped somebody, but I don't know if it helped God. And what I'm trying to communicate to you guys in 2021 is this is not the year to go nuts and try. This is not the year that you're going to change everything. Let me help you out. You're exhausted. Right about now, you're starting to fight with your spouse and your friends and your relationships and the people around you, and you're getting really grumpy and you're getting really frustrated and you're getting really agitated, and that's usually just a normal post-Christmas season. But we're going to add 8 months of you've been told, hey, change your life and everything's going to be different, and you've just been shifted and bumped and moved, and many of you guys, your jobs have absolutely changed. For many of you, your children's, their lives have absolutely changed. There's so much life change that's happening on the stress level. You're exhausted. And my heart as your pastor is to help, again, everybody make it to 2022. What does it look like to make it to 2022? Relax. Rest. Look at the Gospels and see how the disciples were trying to make it happen and they were trying to do all this stuff and look at the way it failed constantly. And then look at the book of Acts. When they finally went, okay, Jesus, what do you want to do? Okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Okay, God, what do you want to do? And watch what happens. It's pretty cool. As we jump into the book of Acts, I want you to think about reaction. I want you to think about the ripple effect. I want you to think about what happens on the earth and the world because of the life of Jesus. Because a baby was born. Because a man walked the earth sinless. Because for 2.5 years, he preached the kingdom of heaven and God to anyone, not the rich, not the pure-blooded people who were strong and they were Israelites and all the Gentiles were out, but we're in. Jesus preached it to everyone. He opened the kingdom of God to rich, to poor, to the diseased, to the forgotten, to the thief on the cross, to anyone who was willing to humble themselves and repent. The kingdom of God was opened up. And not only was it opened up, but because of Jesus's death, eternity was opened up. And this ripple effect is starting to go out. And this ripple effect is still going. The book of Acts is 28 chapters long, but what's interesting is there's really no conclusion in the end of chapter 28. In other words, we're right now in Acts 29. We are still living out the book of Acts, and those ripples are still going through, and I want to talk to you about how you will be a part of the ripples that continue well after you are on this earth. That what you establish, what you put your money into, what you put your legacy, your time, your energy into, will it outlive you? I can promise you, you put your life into the kingdom, it will live forever. Let's jump into Acts chapter 1 together. Let's look at the first 12 verses. I know Chelsea has cracked up and she's laughed at me that last time when I taught on Luke chapter 1, I preached forever on just like three words. I'm going to try to preach even longer on even less words. I'm teasing. But let's jump into the points. Point number one, as we start to study the book of Acts, point number one, remember and review what you have learned. Remember and review what you have learned. Now, why is this important? If you're an educator, you understand why this is important. Many of you guys are teachers, and you're about to go back and teach students again on Monday, and for 2 weeks, they have not been paying attention to anything that you have been teaching them, and they will have forgotten what you were teaching them. So you're going to have to go back and reteach. You're going to have to go back and review what you've taught them, because in constructionist theory, you build upon the building blocks of what you've told them, how you've instructed them, and if they learn the foundation, then they can grow and they can learn things that are higher. The problem is with American Christianity is we teach church like a smorgasbord. We just bring you in and let you eat whatever you want, whenever you want to eat it, and we wonder why your body's shaped like a pear. That's not the way it works. One of the things that I've had to do as I've come into COVID is I've realized that I need to exercise. I need to take care of my body. One of my friends, who's a little bit older than me, had a heart attack in November. And I was like, wait a minute, this is not okay. And then I was like, well, I can't go to the gym. I've got to figure out something to do. And so I, with my family, we talked about some things, and Costco had a bike on sale, and I bought it, and I brought it home, and I have been on that dumb bike pretty much 6 days a week on that thing, riding it. But one of the things that God really brought to me was, Nathan, you need a teacher. You need a trainer. You need to be humble and let somebody else be in charge of your life. Stop you trying to do it, because if you knew how to do it, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be in this situation. So put your life in somebody else's hand and let them lead you and instruct you and mentor you and teach you. And then all of my pride came up. No, I hate education. No, I hate authority. No, and God's like, look, right there is the spirit of the Antichrist in your life. And I was like, really? Over a bike? We're going to have a spiritual conversation over a bike, King. God's like, I talk on spiritual things on everything. I was like, that's fair. What I want you guys to understand is that we need to remember and review what we have learned. And more importantly, we need to not believe that we're the experts in our lives. I mean, come on. If you're the expert in your life, just look at it. Well done. But what we need is somebody who looks from the outside, who's emotionally not connected to it, who can help us do this. And so when I get on the bike and I start riding and I've got this trainer telling me to do different things, I'm like, how's that going to help me? And then what's really interesting is I've watched my body change. I've absolutely watched it change. And what I want to communicate to you guys is trust the process. Allow the spiritual formation process to change you. Allow it to change your soul. Trust the King in what he's trying to do. Sure, there's some cool things you can do, but it's probably not your area of expertise. What's really fun for me as I've listened to people the last 7 months is how frustrated inside of our church people are upset about when someone doesn't listen in an area that they're an expert in. Whether you're an educator, whether you're a contractor, whether you're a medical professional, whether you're a salesman and you can sell snow to everybody, okay? Whether you are like you have so many doctoral degrees and master's degrees, whether you are a wordsmith, whether you have a master's degree, what I'm trying to say is whether you've parented to, you're an expert. Isn't it frustrating when people don't listen to you? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Maybe people don't listen to you and I as experts because we don't listen to experts. Let's change this. Let's go back and let's be different. You're like, well, how does that have to do with point number one? Remember and review what you have learned. I'm going to share some things right now with you that are going to be a little bit frustrating. But let's think about the positives of this. I mean, if you are an educator, if you are somebody who's trying to teach somebody something and you give this advice to them, you think it's brilliant. But if it's given to you, it's offensive. So let's just pretend we're giving it to somebody else. And let's be positive about it. The first thing when we need to remember and review what we've learned, you need to take notes. Especially after 8 months of COVID, especially after everything that we've gotten. Have you noticed that you are so forgetful? Have you noticed that your brain cannot hold on to information very long? I learned a long time ago, and when Mark Batterson wrote in The Circle Maker, your memory is only as long as the shortest pencil. Some of you guys don't even know what pencils are. You're so digital, it's insane. But pencils were something that we used to use to write on papyrus paper. And you, when sometimes the lead would go out from dipping it in the inkwell, that you would have to sharpen it. No, I mean, what I want you guys to remember is, look, when we teach through these biblical things, if you're just sitting and you're just listening, you're only getting about a tenth of what you could get. Can you imagine if you wanted to work out and you wanted your body to change and you only did a tenth of the exercise? What would the effects be? Marginal and minimal, if anything. Practically not. I want to encourage you guys. I know we've gone digital, but I want to encourage some of you guys to go back and get a real paper journal, to get a real pencil. And when we're walking through these things, write the things down. Why? Because when you write, I'm not going to go through all the cognitive information and all the research that proves that when you write something down and you physically use your hands and the motor skills of your hands writing it and your eyes seeing it, it imprints even stronger inside of your brain, because it does. That's going to help you remember. And you know what? If we're talking about spiritual, man, this is important. Write it down. Okay? Review your notes. Do you know how important it is to review your notes? I write the sermon and then I review it all week. And then one of the things that I have to do when I preach again is to go back and review the sermon of the person who taught before me and the person who taught before me, just to keep working through and reviewing so that we are working together on what we're trying to communicate and what we're trying to say. I want to encourage you to review your notes. How do you review your notes? Share your notes with a friend. Talk to somebody about it. Wow, on Sunday when Pastor Nathan said point number one, remember and review what you have learned, I can't imagine how that would change my job if the employees who worked for me actually remembered and reviewed what I asked them to do. As an educator, can you imagine if your students prepped and got ready the night before to get ready to come to work, or not to work, but it is work, to come to school in the morning ready to go? Do you know who those students are called? Straight A students. Me, C minus student, I just showed up. You're welcome. I'm here. Share your notes with a friend. Talk about what you learned. Talk about what stood out to you. Notice what you talk about during the week. Do you talk about the coolest whiskeys? Do you talk about that the Dallas Cowboys shouldn't be in the NFL anymore? Patriots are there near there. I hear that laughter. It's too real. Okay, but you know what? They get 30 years of because what they've done for the last 20. Fair. Okay, but what I want you guys, what do you talk about? Do you talk about kids? Do you talk about the newest hip restaurant? Do you talk about how traffic is? Do you talk about cars? Do you talk about that you stood outside a line at Costco? Like, what do you talk about? Talk about fashion? What do you talk about? Let me help you out. Where your heart is, where your mouth is, where your thoughts are, that's where you are. So as we come into 2021, how about let's gravitate our lives around the Spirit of God? Why? Because the Spirit of God is the only thing that's going to get us through this. You guys are like, well, Pastor Nathan's teaching a New Year's sermon about New Year's resolutions and things we should do. Just to help you out, I do that every year. Okay? So remember and review what you've learned. Take notes, review your notes, share your notes with a friend, and talk about what you've learned. You're like, oh my gosh, he just did what he said we're supposed to do. He just literally reviewed it. Yes! But Pastor, you keep repeating the same things again and again and again to us. Because we've mastered them, right? Yeah. No. Okay? Jump into the book of Acts. Notice the book of Acts starts with review. Wow. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Let's pause. Luke is about to just do a super summary of the life of Jesus. It's going to be super incredible. It's going to be super fast, and it's the shortest gospel ever written. Here we go. until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands for the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. There's the gospel. Jesus Christ on earth in the flesh, who died, who was raised again, who came from the Father and returned back to the Father, said to his disciples, "This is what I want you to do." That's what Luke just wrote. Point number one, remember and review what you've learned. Point number two, follow the orders of your king. Point number two, follow the orders of your king. Now, I could have done follow directions, follow instructions, but we don't do that. We don't follow directions. We don't follow instructions. And as I was writing this, I was thinking about what is something that really can come to us today about really wanting people to follow orders well. And I thought about it. Have you had an experience lately ordering food when your food order got messed up? Have you? Have you gone through the drive-thru? Have you done Grubhub? Have you done DoorDash? Have you done Flippity-Zippity-Zoo, whatever the newest name is out there that you can do stuff for them to bring you things fast and quick and put it on somebody else's doorstep? That happened to our family. Wife had to go outside and look around the neighborhood and found our food on another stoop. Or they ordered the exact same stuff as us and they didn't eat. So we'll see which one it is. Follow the orders from your king. I remember I have a buddy, his name's Mikey Tong, and he took me out and we were bodyboarding in California, and we went to a place called The Wedge, which is south of Newport Beach, and it's right by the Jetty Harbor, and it's where two waves come in and come together, and it creates a super wave. And this super wave kicks up super high, and it's got a beautiful curve to it. And it's so wonderful to body surf inside of or to boogie board inside of and to get in there and you can just ride really quickly. The problem is you ride really quickly, and then you got to be done because then there's the shore. So I'm out, and I'm in the water, and I'm sitting out in the lineup, and it's just he and I out there, and he's up on the shore, and I'm watching the waves behind me, and I'm looking at the cues, and I'm watching them. It's not just one wave. You got to look for two to come together, and I see they're coming together, and I hear Mikey from the beach yelling, "Go, go, go," and I'm like, "This is my wave," and I paddle and kick. I've got flippers on, and I go for it with everything that I've got, and the next thing I know, I'm on the top of an 8-foot wave. And there's no water underneath me. All the water had gone out from underneath, and it's pure sand underneath me. And I, from the top of the wave, went straight down, put my face straight into the sand. Bada! And then immediately, a kind, gentle wave of 8 feet grabbed me and removed my shorts as it took me up the beach. Scraped my back, my face, my ears, my arms, my thoughts. I don't think there was any part of me that was not scraped. Or for those of you who pay money for it, I got some cool dermal abrasions. To which I get up to the top. I'm stunned, stupid, dumb. There's stars going around everything. I'm pretty much naked. And I look at my buddy and he said, "I said no. No, 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 no. Why did you go?" And then he went, "You thought I said go." We went home. Follow the orders from your king. It will help you from not getting hurt. And also understand how we want people to follow the orders that we give. Especially if you have dietary concerns, that you need the food prepared correctly so that it doesn't cause you other problems. The king is telling you and me there's problems through each door. There are more problems in another door. Don't go through that door. Follow the orders of the king. Now, I want you to write this down in your notes, and I really want you to write this down. I want this to be 2021 inside of Real Church. Progress, not perfection. Say that out loud with me. Progress, not perfection. One more time. Some of you guys are frustrated that we didn't say it all together perfectly. progress, not perfection. Let's make progress in our marriages. Let's make progress at work. Let's make progress in our homes, in our businesses. Let's make progress in relationships with our spouse and our children, our mom and our dad. Let's make some progress. What does progress look like? Let me help you out. An incremental amount more than where you're currently at. But not perfection. If you go for perfection in 2021, not good. You've got a mental breakdown coming your way, and you've got destroyed relationships in the wake of you coming your way. I want to encourage you, let's make spiritual progress in 2021. But don't put over you that you've got to become like, I got to level up 7 times. No, don't do that. Let's just make some progress this year. Okay, so follow orders from the king with the mindset that we are going to make progress. Verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Do you know what I read in that scripture? I read, no, wait, hold on, not yet, patience. I hate all those words, unless I'm telling somebody else them. God has plans for your life. And yes, in 2021, he's going to do a miracle. But let's not use all our miracles 3 days into this year. How about we space it out when we really need encouragement, when we really need him to show up? And let's trust that he's really going to show up. And let's be obedient to what he told us to do. I know it's hard. I know it's weird. We're supposed to gather together and worship. We're supposed to not forsake the community of believers. But right now, let me help you out. You're getting exhausted. You're getting tired. You don't want to come to church anymore. You don't want to be in small group. You're zombied out. You don't want to go to school. Like, you just don't want to. Let me be empathetic. I get it. But there are some really mature choices that we make that are not fun. And we make really wise choices that may hurt in the beginning, but are brilliant in the long run. That's maturity. Do you know what immaturity is? Immaturity is eating dessert first, second, third, and fourth. I know. I want to go pleasure, 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 pleasure. That's why working out is not working fun. It's just not. But what I want you guys to understand is what we need to do is we need to review what God has told us to do and be obedient. If he told you to be somewhere, be there. Stay there until he comes and gives you new orders. I remember being a kid and going to Washington, D.C. and sitting up and going to the tomb of the unknown soldier when we didn't know who it was that was in the grave. We now know. But there was literally a soldier that would walk back and forth guarding this tomb. And I remember going and seeing the changing of the guard. And Christians need to have the changing of the guard cemented into our minds and into our heads. And if you get to go to Washington, D.C., go on to Arlington Cemetery, go up to the changing of the guards and watch a spiritual truth be taught to you. The guard walks to the other guard. It's time for them to change. He has done his job. He's done his work. And the guard says from one guard to the other, orders remain the same. We're going to walk back and forth in front of this tomb for the next ever. And if that's the worship the king has for you, praise God. Do it. Be it. Be salt and light. Just be. And watch me transition back to what we've taught before. Be present. Just be there. Point number 3. Serve in his presence with his power. Point number 3, serve in his presence with his power. Train yourself to be what you want to do. Train yourself to be what you want to do. My son and I were having a conversation this last week, and we were talking about a plan, and we had this plan to do this thing, and when you go in to do this thing, that all of a sudden, once adrenaline hits and once emotion comes in, you totally forget what the plan was, and you just go on survival. Let me help you out. There's a lot of marriages right now that are exhausted, that have forgotten the plan, and they're going on survival. There's a lot of jobs that you're doing that you've forgotten the plan and you're exhausted. And I believe it's the limbic part of your brain that is now in charge and is making fight or flight decisions. Now, we've rested over Christmas break for the most part, but we're about to go back into in January. And what I'm trying to set you up for is you need to train so that you can respond the way you want to respond when emotions are high, when tensions are difficult. When you're exhausted and scared, you need to train. Well, Nathan, that's stupid. Nobody in the world does that type of training. I disagree with you. The highest and most important jobs drill and 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 drill under pressure, under relaxation, under moderate stress, and under chaos constantly, so that when really it happens, they just respond in muscle memory. It's not an issue of having to think through what you need to do. So, Pastor, what do I need to train in? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the things you need to train in. You need to train on being positive. Some of you guys need to train on smiling. Yes, you're exhausted. Yes, you're tired. But let me tell you something right now. Being salt and light and smiling when you're going around your life. Yes, you're wearing a mask, but people can see your eyes crease. Smile. Give the love of God. Give the love of God to your spouse. Greet your spouse. Say hello. Say, I'm so glad you're here. I know many of you guys have said, are you still here? Go somewhere. Be careful with your words. Why not say, man, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for not leaving. I wouldn't want to do this with anybody else. I want to do this with you. Thank you for being here. Be loving, be kind, be sweet, be gentle, be tender. Train in it. But let's also train in our spiritual sides. Get back into reading the Bible. A verse a day, that's fine. The Bible app will put it on your phone. You're on your phone 90% of the time anyway, so just look at the Bible app once and you can be like, yeah, it was spiritual. Like, I'm good with it. It counts. But don't be crazy. I'm going to read a book of the Bible a day. No, don't do that. This is your spiritual leader saying no. You're going to overwhelm yourself. You're going to get frustrated, and then you're going to just throw your hands up in the air and quit. I would like you just to read a word in the Bible a day. Some of you guys just start there. Just literally open it up, see the word the, and celebrate. You can text message me, one down, okay? I will give you the thumbs up, I'll give you the smiley face, and if I'm really excited, I will type into my iPhone, pew, pew. Now, what I want you guys to understand is that God wants us to serve in his presence, in his power, in the microscopic. He wants us to serve in his presence and in his power in the littlest thing. Well, this isn't important. How does this help the kingdom of God? How does my obedience and love honor the king in this moment? Simply stated, because it does. One of the things that I needed to learn early on in my marriage was my wife didn't care about the value of the gift that I gave her. Whether the gift cost me $30,000 or the gift cost me 30 cents, it counted as one. One gift and one gift. It counted as one. And the joy of the one gift counted the same amount of time. What I thought in my economy was, no, this should be 30,000 times more important than this thing. And what I want you to understand is with God, he's the same way. He is so pumped when he sees the precious woman come and give what she has. And he looks at the rich person like, you didn't really even sacrifice. What I want you guys to get is it's in the microscopic that God's like, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's my son. That's my daughter. I'm proud of them. It's in the microscopic where nobody's looking, where nobody sees it, the choices that you make. He wants us to serve in the presence and in his power, with his power, in the forgettable. In the forgettable. Washing dishes. Changing a baby's diapers, vacuuming a house, picking up a piece of trash, walking down the street. letting somebody else go on the street, because in the Midwest, we're incredibly gracious and kind and sweet and loving. Maybe we should redeem that. And not only does God want you to serve in the microscopic and in the forgettable, He wants you to serve in the memorable. Yes, in those special moments that you will tell people that literally in 15 years, and not even 15 years, in 5 years, I want you guys to understand this. We have a worldwide ability to ask, where were you at during COVID? You will be able to go anywhere in the world and ask somebody, what was it like? And everybody will be able to talk about it. You want to talk about commonality? You want to talk about unity? The whole earth is dealing with this issue. And everybody can talk about it. It's going to be memorable. How can you serve the King in the memorable? This week, my family and I, we were sitting around the table and we were talking about memories and things like that. And my daughter was like, man, I don't even remember that. I had totally forgotten that. How do you remember these things? Some things I remember, but you know what? I forget a lot of the microscopic, and I got to remember those. I got to remember that God is good in the simple things. And I remember listening to a couple people last Sunday talk about how thankful they were that God had put air in their lungs. And I went, yeah. I'm thankful that my feet touched the floor, and when I stood up, my body could handle the weight. And I was like, if that's not microscopic, I don't know what is. But because I'm entitled, because I'm consumeristic, because I want more and more and more, I forget to praise God for the beautiful things. And you guys are like, Pastor, you preach at us all the time. If you have running water inside of your home, you should be thankful. If you have a toilet that's not out in the winter, okay, indoors, you should be thankful. If you have a fridge that has food in it, you should be thankful. If you have a closet that has more than one shirt in it, you should be thankful. Serve in His presence and His power. Follow orders from the King. Remember and review what you have learned. And then ask the right questions. Ask the right questions. One of the greatest questions that you can ask in 2021 is this. How can I serve you, King? How can I serve you? Try that with some other people. Rather than asking, hey, do you need anything? Do you want help? How about you walk up to them and just say, is there any way I can serve you? Just by saying, is there any way I can serve you, you will change their day. Absolutely change their day. Ask the right questions. Notice verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, they're asking a question to Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Seems like a great question, but Jesus is like, that's not the question. Jesus says, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Let me help you out right now. It's not the end times. Okay? I started getting questions in February from people reaching out to me, text messaging me, across the nation asking me, is this the end times? And I'm like, well, since Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, we are in the last half of the book. But it is not anywhere close to as bad as I read and what it says in Scripture, and we're just not there. No, we're not in the end times. Let me help you out, Christians. Is getting a vaccine the mark of the beast? No, gosh, no. In the 1940s, it was getting a Social Security number. If you got a Social Security number, you had the mark of the beast. Guys, let's review. What happened? Nothing. Okay, after that, it was driver's licenses. What happened? Nothing. Okay, after that, it was an ATM card. What happened? Nothing. Now they're like, oh, it's a microchip in you. Guess what? Let me help you out with what the mark of the beast is. It's the opposite of the mark of Christ. If you're in Christ, you're not going to get it. Pretty simple. Amen. You guys are like, oh my gosh, he just handled Revelation straight up. Verse 8. But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let me help you out in verse 8. The Holy Spirit chooses when he wants to come upon you. You are sealed in the Holy Spirit. Yes, when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is present inside of you. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit has given you power to do something. Look at the story of David and Goliath. The Holy Spirit came upon David to take down Goliath. It's not Goliath and Frank. It's not Goliath and Steve. It's not Goliath and Sarah. The Holy Spirit came upon David because that's what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And what I want you to understand is you need to figure out your role and your job and what God wants to do with you. And gosh, it's frustrating. I want to change things. I want things different. But God is like, Nathan, you're a control freak. Stop. Okay, King, help me. I want you to understand this year, there will be many times when the Spirit of God comes upon you and works in you and through you to do something that honors him that you can't do in your own power. Don't take credit for it, and don't fake it later on that you have it. Okay, I just did tons of church history again. Don't do it. The Holy Spirit doesn't like being mocked. Give credit to the Spirit of God. Verse 9, And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, and as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go to heaven. Now let me help you out. Jesus is going to come when he wants to come. It had nothing to do with us. And the angels ask a really interesting question. Allow me to paraphrase. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, we're staring up into heaven. Right, Jesus just told you to go and wait in Jerusalem. Why are you staring up into the sky? Oh, oops. What I want you to remember and I want you to reflect on, and I had to have someone precious from me years and years and years ago come into my office and say, Pastor, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, absolutely. He said, I kind of have to correct you. And I'm like, that's sad to hear, but okay, I'm willing to listen. I said, you know, I've been praying over you and I hear God saying, return back to your calling. Review your calling. What is it that God said he wanted to do with you? And I was just sitting there for a second, and I was like, okay, well, I could respond defensive. I could pretend like, who are you to bring this to me? Or I could stop for a second and go, Holy Spirit, what truth is in this that I need to use in my life? What do I need to apply, and what do I need to let go? And God was like, man, anytime you ever review my calling in your life, I think that's brilliant. So do it. I did. I reviewed back to what I heard God say when I was 13. I reviewed back to what I heard God say when I was 18. I reviewed and heard back what God said when I was 21. I went back and listened to what God said to me when I was in my 30s. And here I am in Chicago. This precious person said, hey, God's doing something. You need to start paying attention. And I was too busy with the day-to-day stuff that I was trying to do and blinded in so many other things. And what I want to communicate to you guys is that God has plans for you this year. Stop telling God your plans. We just got done communicating. Commit your plans to the Lord and he will make it happen. In other words, God, what do you want to do? I want to do it. So ask a question. What are you doing? Now, it's not a negative. You could be doing exactly what you're supposed to do. God told me to stand right here and I'm standing here. Good job. What are you doing? Wishing I wasn't here, hoping I was over there. Fair, true answer. But let's get a good heart that trains ourselves to be obedient and do what God tells us to do. To do our job, to do our task. To remain committed to the vows and the things that we've committed to. To put the things in the right places and the right priorities of what we need to do. You're like, oh my gosh, he's reteaching all of 2020. Yes! Point number one, review. Let's jump to our application. It's even more review. Live the life that God has planned for you. Now, please allow me to say some of these things that I have repeated for 8 years. The first one, walk in the strength, you guys know it? Of the Lord. Walk in the strength of the Lord. Why do I keep saying that to myself? Because I'm sinful and I keep trying to walk in my own strength. Do you do it? I do it. walk in the strength of the Lord. Maybe a cool transition to it is be in the strength of the Lord. Just be. Be in the strength of the Lord. Walk in his good works he's prepared. God has good works prepared for you in 2021. Let us praise God. This is the day he has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And let's let him be in charge. King, what do you want to do this year? Where do you want my child to go to school? What job do you want me to take? Do you want us to take a vacation? Should we buy this home? Should we sell this car? Seek the Lord. Ask him. Walk in love as you are in love. You realize you can be loving because God loved you first. Read 1 John. It's a quick book. You can do it. Because God loved you first, you can love. You can be loved because you're loved. You can love your neighbor that throws trash on your front yard. Man, I lost my mind this week as I was moving snow around, and there are people who are, I'm sure they're wonderful people, I'm trying to have a positive attitude, that bring their animals in front of my house and leave me gifts. Many gifts. Because I guess they think that I need to be out there cleaning up after their dog because I serve them. And the king is like, you don't serve them, Nathan? You're a pastor here in this community. I'm like, I know, but I don't want to clean up after dogs. God's like, I clean up after you. And I was like, oh, fair. Walk in trust and obedience to your king. Walk in trust and obedience to your king. So what do we need to practice in 2021? What do we need to put into our muscle memory? What do we need to review again and again and again and again so when tensions are high, when emotions shoot up through the roof, when we're stressed out and we feel pressed, that we would naturally and supernaturally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in the strength of the Lord and not in our own strength. That we would walk in God's works that he's prepared for us and not create our own works. That we would love because we've been loved. And that we would trust and be obedient to the King. I'm so excited to jump through this Acts series with you guys and spend time talking about all the things that the Holy Spirit is doing. I want to be honest with you guys. I look forward to hearing the stories of what the Holy Spirit does with us in 2021. It was an absolute blast to listen to all the amazing, wonderful, great things that the King did for us in 2020. And I have a simple statement. If he was good in 2020, don't you think he'll be good in 2021? If he was good in 2019, don't you think he'd be good in 2021? If he was good in 2018, don't you think he would be good in 2020? In other words, if his track record proves that he's good, what's the likelihood that he's going to be good? You're like, oh, pastor, you're attacking worry and anxiety. Yes, I am. And the way you get rid of worry and anxiety is love. And he's already loved us. May the love of God pour over you, in you, through you. May his Spirit guide you and strengthen you. And may you and I remember all that he's taught us for his glory. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday. Welcome to 2021. Woo, woo.